Shall we stand as we read from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1 to 9. This month we are talking about empowered calling. So I read Acts 9, 1 to 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." We shall stop there. This is God's word, and God's people say, amen. Amen. We may be seated even as we pray. Father, we are just grateful for this Sunday as we walk into a new week, and we bless your holy name. We thank you for the events that have taken place in the past week as we celebrated Revival Season 9. We thank you for the lives that were touched. We thank you for the lives that were impacted. And dear Lord, as that revival continues to flow in our spirits and in our hearts, and especially this month of August, when we are speaking about empowered calling, Heavenly Father, may we understand this calling, may we walk in this calling, and may your name be glorified as we fulfill the calling that we have received in Christ. Father, as your word is spoken from this pulpit to this congregation, beyond to those watching us online, wherever they shall hear this word, may the Holy Spirit minister to us in a very special way. And all glory goes back to you, because we have prayed in that precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and God's people said, amen. 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 I want to talk about empowered calling unveiled. And we are talking about calling. And, you know, when we are talking about being empowered world changers, it starts with a calling. And as I'll be talking later, I want to say that a calling is not an event. So tell your neighbor, a calling is not an event. Because many times when you think about calling, we think about something happened to you, and then you got tired, and you are commissioned, then you are called to do ABCD. But I want you to know that in God's kingdom, calling is a mindset. Tell your neighbor, calling is a mindset. Why calling? You see, Jesus Christ, and I want to read Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says this in verse 35, that he came and he began to preach and go to various places. The Bible says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now that is the very key statement, because we are in a harvest season. Tell your neighbor, we're in a harvest season. But the challenging is that the harvesters are what? Are few. Then Jesus said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest." Let me read that. "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now that statement is quite mild, because it says, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send. That word send is a mild statement. It's just saying, ask him to send, to just send. Tell him to just go. No, that word is a very strong word. That word meant that the harvest is plentiful. If nobody goes in there, it's going to get spoiled. So ask the Lord of the harvest to thrust people into the harvest. Because the workers are few. They are refusing to go. But hey, grab them and thrust them into the harvest. Because Jesus is interested in the harvest. And that is why in the next verse, which is chapter 10, Jesus then goes ahead and calls these disciples. He says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And then he gives them the name. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus thrust out with the following instruction and says, do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep. And in summary of that statement, I just want to say this. When God calls, he empowers. When he empowers, he enlists. When he enlists, he commissions. When he commissions, he assigns. So let me repeat that again. God calls, then he empowers, then he puts you on a list. Thank you, Jesus. Then he commissions you, and then he assigns you. And I want to say this. Jesus is interested in the harvest being collected. And that is why he looked around one day and he found a guy called Saul of Tarsus. Now, if you know the story of Saul and Tarsus, Saul was a Pharisee. He was from Tarsus. He was not just from Jerusalem. He was not like the disciples. And God was thinking about this world-changing situation. So he looked for a man who had been in the world and yet knew the scriptures and decided that he was going to use this guy to bring in the harvest. And so the story we read in the book of Acts chapter 9 starts. Because sometimes you think that God calls for people who are busy in the Bible school. But Paul was not in the Bible school. Paul was busy killing Christians. Paul was busy going completely the wrong direction. And guess what? God grabs him and God calls him and God thrusts him to bring in this harvest. So Paul was so changed, and so, because, let me read that verse, because it was a dramatic situation for a guy who had been rebelling. So let me say this. If you don't want God to one day slap you off a horse and make you blind for 3 days, thank you, Jesus, just come humbly and be sent. Because some of us resist the assignment that God has for us. So God has to do something miraculous. God has to do something dramatic. But for Paul, God was going to send him into places of the Gentiles who knew nothing about God. And he needed a dramatic engagement. But I pray not all of you will get a dramatic engagement. You'll just accept. So look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you have been called. So just accept. One as if you were. Remember again, calling is not an event. It is what? A mindset. We have been called. Let me read this verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul is the one saying those verses much later in his life. And this is what he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And then he says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I want to come back to this guy because there are three things that defined his calling. Number one, a calling to passion, a calling to propulsion, and a calling to production. These are the things that defined this gentleman when God brought him into the kingdom. And some of these things should define us, knowing that God has called us. A calling to passion, a calling to propulsion, and a calling to production. And I'm just going to explain one or two things about this. But let me tell you this, with what Paul went through, the challenges he faced in life, and the letters he wrote, many of them he wrote in prison, it was basically to demonstrate his passion, his propulsion, and his production. Tell your neighbor, passion. Tell your neighbor, propulsion. Tell your neighbor, production. So let me go to Acts chapter 9, because he had passion even before he met Jesus Christ. There was something just moving him. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats. Can you imagine? He was breathing murderous threats. In fact, if you go to chapter 7, where they were stoning Stephen, because Stephen was killed in chapter 7 for preaching the gospel, and the Bible says that Paul was around getting and gathering the clothes of the people who were beating him up. And God decided, this guy who is killing Christians, I'm going to use him to change lives. And he says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He even went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. It is this kind of passion that God wanted to grab. And then it says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He says, why are you using your passion in the wrong direction? And many of us have passion, but in the wrong direction. Not that the things we are passionate about are bad, but sometimes the kingdom is waiting for that kind of passion so that men and women are moved into the kingdom of God. I know that the Premier League is just coming in. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, do you know what the Premier League is all about? And people are beginning to position themselves. Some men are saying that they're not going to walk alone. Thank you, Jesus. Others are saying that they have enough arsenal to destroy everybody around. One as if you were. So there are these passions, and especially passions for football. Currently, we have the World Cup, the Women's World Cup, taking place. England is just going. We don't know who is going to win this cup. Thank you, Jesus. But there's passion. People have passion for different things, you know. And that passion is God-given. Tell your neighbor, passion is God-given. There are people who have passion to eat. And I'm telling you, people just love to eat and enjoy eating. And it is a good passion because it is God-given, because God put it in there so that God can use it to advance the kingdom of God. Barnabas, if you were. And Paul had this passion to kill Christians. And God says, now I'm going to use the same passion to bring men and women who don't know God into the kingdom. You see, that passion is what we call an upward call, where God is calling you upward. God is saying, come up here. I want to use you. Let me read just one that somebody that God grabbed, Isaiah chapter 6. Let me read that. And God was trying to get Isaiah's attention. And this is what he told Isaiah. This is what happened to Isaiah. It says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. This was an amazing vision. And then Isaiah says, above him were the seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. This was just a tremendous vision. And then he says, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me. Now, this is Isaiah. Woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." Hallelujah. It's a call. And it's not just a call into religious platforms. God is saying, I'm calling you so that you can represent me in all the platforms where your passion is. So that if your passion is into soccer and into football, that while you're there, thank you, Jesus, you're advancing the kingdom of God. Not preaching and just telling people that they need to get saved. No, but letting them know that even though you're excited about football, you're interested about soccer, you're also interested about the kingdom of God, and you want men and women to come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If your passion is cooking, thank you, Jesus. That as you cook, you're doing an excellent job while you're cooking. Hallelujah. If your passion is into architecture and making things happen, your passion is into standing on the roadside and making traffic pass, that hallelujah, you're doing it with a passion that comes from the heart of God, that is your calling. Tell your neighbor, God has called you. And tell your neighbor, the calling is not an event. It is a mindset. Hallelujah. That's what Paul had, and he had to grow with it. So God will not suddenly shift your passion and send you somewhere else. You know, long time ago, when people used to talk about going out into missions and going out and reaching out to Christ, you'd say, "Lord, don't call me into the ministry," because in their head they thought God would call them and send them to Turkana, and they wanted to stay in Nairobi. Hello. For those who are in America, and we are talking about some of those people in diaspora, some of their prayers were this: "Oh, Jehovah God, whatever you do, don't call me to Africa." As if Africa is a very strange place. And by the way, we thank God for those who accepted that call and came to Africa and preached the gospel. And some of us got saved, some of us got discipled because of them. And now it is our turn to go into that diaspora and tell them Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus saves. It's our turn. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor it is your turn. The other day we had people getting passports. We had somebody who sponsored about 40 people to get passports. Because we are saying God opened doors so that these harvesters can go into that harvest. We are also talking to those guys in their diaspora. By the way, as our guys here get passports and all kinds of things, why don't you also send invitation letters to them? Thank you, Jesus. Yes, invite them. Let them come. Let us know as Parklands Baptist Church. We're inviting so and so, this number of people. We'll send them out there. And as we send you out there, ladies and gentlemen, don't go there and start doing your own things. Thank you, Jesus. Bwana asifiwe. Because let me tell you this, we are world changers. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, which country are you planning to go? Just check with them, because God is going to answer their prayers. Don't include that country as Kino, because we are going beyond much, much farther than by the way, Pastor Riggs, when I went to the U.S., and I'm going to tie this up. I was in a meeting in Phoenix, Arizona. And while I was there, we were meeting with these Kenyan Christians and we were talking. This guy says, "Ambrose, you keep talking about guys from Kino." And he told me, "By the way, I came from Kino." Now he's in Phoenix, Arizona. So tell your neighbor, people from Kino, it is not in vain that your name is being mentioned. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You're going places. But may God use your passion. May that upward call, may God open doors for you. Some of you go out as doctors. Some of you go as nurses. Some of you go as engineers. Some of you go as educators. Some of you go as ambassadors. And we thank God for the ambassadors of some of them in our church whom God has released to go out and serve. Wherever you are, let that passion drive you. Of course, the second thing that was helping Paul was this thing we call propulsion. So that's the second thing, a call to propulsion. The Bible says this, Acts chapter 9, verse 6 to 9. The Bible says this very quickly. It says this, now get up. Now let me read this in the New King James Version. Because God was really shaking this guy, because God knew this guy is not moving. He says this, so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, now that's the word, arise and go into the city. That word, arise and go, that is the word explained by the word propulsion. Propulsion is energy that drives you. You know, when a rocket is launched, the rockets don't just take off as if like a helicopter. You know, when a helicopter is going up, it just, the thing starts, and the helicopter begins to rise. Now, that is not this arise thing. Use the picture of a rocket that is being launched. Because a rocket does not start, this rocket is going to go beyond the atmospheric gravitational pull, and it has to go completely out, and so as it goes out, it has to be propelled. That's called propulsion, and some of us just need that. And God was saying, arise and go, because many of us are scared to death to go out. Hello? No wonder God told Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. And let me tell you this, it was very intimidating for some of us to go out, to be propelled. But God said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When that happens, you have no otherwise. You will be propelled into the places God wants you to go. They are fearful places, they're intimidating places, but God got hold of this gentleman and caused him to rise to places he would never have risen. And that propulsion is an inward call. It's something that pushes you from inside. Now listen to how Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. These are the words he uses. So let me read them. Even as we tie this message up. He says, for the love of Christ does what? Compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. I think there's a prophet in the Bible who says that if I cannot keep silent, because when I keep silent, my bones are burning inside me. I must move. I pray that that kind of compassion, that kind of propulsion will begin to stir you up. Hallelujah. And will take you to places you have never expected to be. That's propulsion. But thirdly, something that happened to him is this, a calling to production. Because God is not just calling you to passion. He's not just calling you to propulsion. He's calling you to production. There's something that God wants you to produce. Let me read this in Acts chapter 15, chapter 9, verse 15 to 16. Because Ananias, God is now connecting to Ananias. He's saying, Ananias, Paul is coming your way. Ananias gets scared. He says, this guy is coming to kill us. Now then God tells him, listen. But the Lord said to him, go to this guy called Saul, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, not yours. So let me tell you this. You are chosen not by Parklands Baptist Church. You are chosen by who? By God. So let me tell you this again one more time. You are chosen by God. The reason why you are where you are is that God chose you to be there. So let me say that again. You're chosen. I'm saying you're chosen. I'm saying you're chosen. I'm telling you you're chosen. So for some of you, do you remember, for you ladies, maybe you used to play netball. You used to play netball. And so maybe in a camp, you are a big crowd. Then they need a team of net bowlers. So you are about 20, but they need 5-5. Which means out of 20, only 10 people will be chosen. So imagine team A and team B. So there's a captain who starts in the crowd. They start choosing you. They choose. Maybe Winnie. I choose Susan. Then this one says I choose Violet. Now, in the crowd, imagine you're there. One of the fearful things is that while they are choosing, you might end up not being. Now, for some of us, we didn't care if we are chosen or not chosen. But for some of us who really wanted to be in that game, we say, please choose me. Please, please choose me. Can you imagine that God, the creator of the universe, is looking at this crowd of nearly, how many billions are we now in this world? About 8 billion. And God looks at this, all these 8 billion, and then God picks you up. He chooses you. What a feeling. But when you are chosen in that team, you're not just chosen to admire the net and the ball. You're actually chosen to begin to score. There is a productivity that has to come. And this is what happened to Paul. He says, I have chosen him. Now let me read that verse. He says, verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. The assignment is given. The scope is given. So let me say that one more time. It says this, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. I want to tell you this, you are a chosen vessel of God. So it doesn't matter whether somebody agrees with you, whether you're chosen. God chose you for himself. God chose you. Vessel of mine, that he may bear my name. He may go on my behalf before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And then he says, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Now look at the next verse. The Bible says, immediately. Hallelujah. Immediately. That was productivity. Something was pushing him. God had appeared to him, and he knew he had a job to do. Immediately. He preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now listen to what happened. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Can you imagine? And I believe this month, as we talk about calling, that this God is going to stir you up and is going to make things shift in your life. Shall we stand? God is a good God. And so God may use you. May God use you. May God use you. Some of you are in security. May God use you in that sector. Some of you are accountants. Look at your neighbor. Amen. As you count that money. There are so many accountants who go to. Have you been in Mikono? Okay, look at those accountants. God bless you. Doctors. We have doctors. Yes. May God use you big time in that calling. Bwana asifiwe, businessmen and businesswomen. Okay. Mpewe biashara. Na increase big time. That's a passion. Bwana asifiwe. Any athletes? Wako. God bless you. Including Pastor Edith. My friend, this lady runs every day. I don't know why he runs. I don't know why she runs. She's always running and telling people to eat vegetables. I don't know. But whatever your passion, some of you are in administration. Any people in administration, administrators? Yes. Whatever passion it is, remember, it is a calling. Call to passion, call to propulsion, call to production for the glory of God. Bwana asifiwe. And so as I pray, I'm praying for all of you. Those of you who are watching online, I'm praying for you too. And by the way, while I'm preparing to pray, I also want to announce to you that Pastor Ambrose will be starting his leave tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Tell your neighbor, yes. Yes, I end it. Yes. So be praying for me, because one of the things I'll be praying for as you pray for me is that God will give us a word for the year 2024. But let's just submit to God and just allow him to use us, Pastor Simon and the team that will be here, that God will continue to take us from one degree of glory to another. Wana baraka wale waombao, wana baraka waombao, wana baraka wale waombao, na Yesu mwenye we alise. Hallelujah. You as I pray, this book is a very key book, Prayers That Prevail. I want you to get a copy of this book. It's going to really help you to enhance your praying. It is not going to teach you how to pray, because you are praying already. It is going to enhance you in your prayers. And Dr. my brother, I'd like to hand this book to you. Right where you are. This will bless you. Come right here. Enjoy the book. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me give this book to my sister. Oh, you put up your hand. Where you kwaze? JJ, you see this lady here? Get her the book, Okay. But get a copy and get it to your friends, because I really want you to be people of prayer, that God will propel you to greater heights. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless and glorify your name for this service. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers that were prayed in this service, for the worship that was released in this service. And we thank you for this beloved worship team that led us and guided us through our worship today. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you even for the testimonies for Pastor Simon, who got this doctorate, our honorary doctorate degree. We bless him. We thank you, Lord, for our desire to reach out to the Elgeyo the county. And we just want to say thank you. Lord, now as we prepare to go, may we go. May we go where you have already given us passion. May there be a propulsion. May there be a production. And dear Father, I thank you for these men and women who are just coming out of Revival Season 9, that indeed they will continue to carry the light of Jesus wherever they go. I bless their families, Father. I bless their children. And dear Lord, I bless the work of their hands. All the professions that were mentioned here, the callings that are among us, Lord, may they be used to advance your kingdom. So, Father, we thank you and we glorify your holy name. And Lord, as I release my brothers and sisters, I declare this to them this morning. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord bless your coming in. May the Lord bless your going out. May the Lord cause you to rise even to greater heights. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the countryside. I want to declare to you that your Monday is blessed. Your Tuesday is blessed. Your Wednesday is blessed. Your Thursday is blessed. Your Friday is blessed. Your Saturday is blessed. Sunday, you're coming back with a testimony. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bless you in the name of the Father. I bless you in the name of the Son. I bless you in the name of the Holy Spirit. And God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you, yani you will dwell in God's favor all the days of your life. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Shalom.